Coming up next on Daddy on Board 90, the woes of traveling with kids, more reasons to eat sugar, and some cool gadgets for Father's Day. All that and more right around the corner on The Daub. Our show sponsors Gazelle.com want to give you money for your used smartphone, tablet device, or other consumer electronic good. So if you're looking for fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping to unload your gadget or doohickey, you need to go over and see our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Welcome, parents, new and expectant, experienced and hesitant, to Daddy on Board 90. I am your host, Mike Quackenbush, a parent, podcaster, and professional wrestler. Not too long from now, I'm going to be heading over to the Wizard World Convention that is in nearby Philadelphia. I may, if I'm brave enough, even venture to take my almost three-year-old along to experience the pop culture phenomenon and overcrowding of the Philadelphia Convention Center. But before I get to that, I've got news, I've got the best of the blogosphere, I've got all kinds of great stuff for you on the number one parenting podcast on the Grizzly Productions Network after Mommy Beta and The Autism Show. So let's dive right into it, shall we? Fox News had this story earlier this week about a change in policy to United Air. As if it wasn't hard enough traveling with your children, United Airlines will no longer be offering early boarding to families in coach, you know, or pre-boarding, as it's oftentimes referred to. I'm sure you've certainly been sitting around in the terminal and heard that announcement, pre-boarding for families with small children. Well, United has quietly made a change in their policy at the end of last month. They joined some other airlines, like American and US Air, that have dropped family pre-boarding from their boarding ritual, I suppose you could say. The airline says this move was, quote, to simplify the boarding process and to reduce the overall number of boarding groups, end quote. United spokesman Charles Hobart told USA Today. Now, previously, families traveling with small children and in coach were allowed on the aircraft before the general mass craziness of boarding begins. This is a convenience for parents so that they can get their kids and all of the junk that you take with you stowed away before the mad rush begins. But now, more and more airlines are charging for priority boarding, and passengers are more willing to pay for guaranteed space in the overhead bins for their luggage. This space is could be taken up by those that pre-board, like those of us traveling with small kids. And I want to say that when we travel with our little ones, our goal is to make the rest of you miserable. I just want you to know that up front. Not because we want to go somewhere or because, you know, we want that awesome meal in the air, which somehow now we pay $7 for. We just want to make you miserable. Now, the group Airfare Watchdog says that this is a fairly business-savvy move on United's part. They said that with the merger of United and Continental, this combined airline has really alienated a lot of their most valued frequent flyers. So they're allowing first class, business class, and elite level members to board first to get the first crack at the overhead bins ahead of the families with small children. And this seems to have pacified some of what they consider to be their most valued customers. Now, of course, parents can still pay to board early if they want to avoid the mad dash. These boarding programs to get ahead of the group, they start at $9 and go up in price from there. So a family of four would expect to pay at least $36 for a family to enjoy the privilege of pre-boarding. Which is kind of crazy. Oh, that's so good. The two parts hydrogen and the one part oxygen perfectly mixed. The Washington Post had this story earlier this week, kind of in conjunction with that piece that was Fox carried, and a bunch of other sources carried that as well, USA Today among them, about the fact that if you are flying this summer, at least domestically, you might be prepared to kiss your family goodbye at the gate, even if they're on the exact same flight. That's because US Air... just U.S. airlines in general, not specifically the carrier U.S. Air, but U.S. airlines in general are reserving more and more window and aisle seats at a premium Now, if you book flights online frequently, as I often do, you know that there are certain seats, if you're attempting to book them, that they'll automatically charge you more for. Like, for example, the ones in the exit aisle, the emergency exit aisle where you get extra legroom. Some airlines charge $15 or $25 extra to sit in these more spacious seats. Well, now, some airlines are charging more to sit at the window, to sit on the aisle, which is making it harder and harder for family members that don't want to pay this fee to sit next to each other. Now, of course, this is a move on the part of the airlines to help boost revenue. It's no secret that the airline industry has been suffering for quite some time. That's exactly why they started charging us to check bags. That's why a lot of the complimentary food and drinks we now pay for, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it might be easier, or you might have a better time arranging for your family to sit together if you buy these tickets 2 to 3 months in advance. And I can tell you just from my own experience booking airfare, usually that sweet spot in terms of getting the best fares is 10 to 11 weeks before you travel. That's right around the sweet spot I found. I don't know if that's set to change for the summer season, because that is the heaviest travel season of the year for us as Americans. But you may come to find that if you can't manage to get it done, or even if you do, the only way to end up sitting next to your spouse or your child or your friend or travel mate, whomever, is to shell out the extra $25 for the upgraded seat so that you can have the aisle or window adjacent to that middle seat. Note that I said put your friend in the middle seat. I didn't say that you should sit there, did I? No one wants the middle seat. And now even basic fares are on the rise. The average domestic round-trip ticket this summer is forecasted to be about $431. That's quite a bit higher than last year. And so you can imagine, with that being the average for a single traveler, that families are going to be more reluctant to cough up additional money just to sit together. These prices and the fees and everything, they seem to escalate every single year. There's no mistaking that. Just to give you an idea, for one traveler to be able to sit with his wife and their four-year-old daughter, all in one row on their trip to Disney World for the summer vacation, they ended up shelling out an extra $114 in upgrade fees to be able to sit together, which, you know, that's adds considerably to the total sum of your vacation spending. Now, I'm tempted to say, which you already know, is that this is a great way to avoid sitting with your little one, right? Let them drive somebody else nuts. On the other hand, I think I'd feel really guilty, you know, if I put him at the other end of the plane and I couldn't reach him. I think eventually I would feel guilty. Now, you know, it might be the kind of guilt that fades instantly, I don't know. But I would feel a little bit weird about asking my almost 3-year-old to sit with someone else for a flight. Unrelated to this, completely unrelated, this story has nothing to do with the airlines whatsoever. This broke just over a week ago over on babycenter.com. In a piece entitled, "Your Kids Get Too Much Sugar." This is no surprise, right? As there's been an increasing deluge of articles about the dangers of sugar. Is it addictive? Is it a toxin in our system? Dr. Mark Hyman wrote a piece for the Huffington Post about childhood obesity and America's food industry at large. He's got a lot of science, a lot of incredible statistics to back up this information that he put together for the Huffington Post. It talks about 5-year-olds that have cirrhosis of the liver from drinking too much soda at that age, a 50% increase in children ages 5 to 14 of strokes, children age 5 to 14 having strokes. However, I think you'll agree with me in that we hear this talk about childhood obesity and childhood diabetes so much that we just start to tune the information out. So, let me boil this down to some usable information for you. While Dr. Hyman proposes some of what he's putting forth in this piece, they're very sound, they're very practical ideas. Some of it's quite radical, to be honest, what he's putting out there. He's talking about starting a tax on sugar. He's talking about federal mandates against selling junk food in certain proximity to schools. Ending government subsidies for agricultural products like corn, since they are far more likely to be used in the making of junk food or things than they are to be eaten as like corn on the cob. So here's something that you need to know. The American Heart Association says that children ages 4 to 8 should eat no more than 4 grams of added sugar a day. Now, this does not count natural sugars, you know, the ones that occur naturally in fruit or in dairy or grain products, things like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 4 grams maximum per day of added sugar. Now, this blogger over on babycenter.com took a list of the things that her little one
8 in a day, including cereal for breakfast with half a cup of orange juice, had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch with yogurt and cheese crackers and carrot sticks, had a snack of an apple with a granola bar, and for dinner, ate mac and cheese and an orange and had 2 cookies. Now that seems like, I have to admit, fairly average fare. There's nothing really egregiously unusual. It wasn't as if each of those meals was accompanied by a half gallon of Dr. Pepper or anything like that. But to give you some perspective on how that all adds up, that day contained 101 grams of sugar. You may recall what the American Heart Association said about 4 grams of sugar. Once again, that sugar count was 101 grams of sugar. That's a lot of sugar. Now, I don't know if you feel your children eat too much sugar. I certainly see ways in which I could reduce the sugar intake of my own son. But I have to admit, like, right now, I think a lot of what's out there, it seems very speculatory. That's not to say that information about childhood obesity and childhood diabetes isn't very, very compelling. But it does seem like, at least as it relates to things like the addictive nature of sugar and everything else, it's really difficult sometimes to differentiate what the really sound information is from that which seems like radical speculation. And so what I really want you to take away from this is this simple guideline that comes direct from the American Heart Association talking about children ages 4 to 8 that they should max out at 4 grams of added sugar per day. And that should really be cause, I think, alone to take a good look at what your little one takes in and what those sugar counts might be. Because certainly there is room for all of us to improve when it comes to the diet of our little ones. All right, well, I'm glad I got that information out to you. I'm going to dive further into the blogosphere. I've also got some great Father's Day gadget ideas that I am under mandate to deliver to you before I get to your little victories and other stuff. But first,
you know, not long after my son was born, I blew through a stop sign and got a ticket for it. This is because the coffee-to-sleep ratio inside my body was out of whack. The truth is, all of us, whether or not we're sleep-deprived or under-caffeinated, could all afford to become a safer, more alert driver. And when it comes to solutions for things exactly like that, I turn to our friends at Cobra, longtime foes of G.I. Joe, and sponsors of this podcast. Head over right now to CobraEyeRadar.com to find out about the most advanced smart detection system in the entire world. This, through Bluetooth technology, pairs with your smartphone and gives you a completely customizable dashboard so that you get up-to-date, real-time driving hazard information and only the information that you want. This is an award-winning system that our friends have come up with over at Cobra. They've been winning awards for it for the last 2 years, and it's no secret why. If you take just a few moments of your time to watch the demo video they've put together about this outstanding Cobra Eye Radar system of theirs, you'll instantly understand why it will make you a far more alert and safer driver. Don't do it just for yourself, but for the people who travel with you, like your family, your friends, your loved ones. And if you happen to know someone or have had the displeasure of riding with someone who is not all that safe or alert as a driver, hey, you might want to think about Cobra Eye Radar as a gift. Go over and see them right now and let them know your friends from Grizzly Productions sent you. That's CobraEyeRadar.com.
All right, well, we'll talk gadgets and little victories shortly here, but first I want to dive into the blogosphere and talk to you a little bit about a couple thought-provoking articles that were making the rounds this week. One was over on the Motherlode blog of the New York Times, a parenting blog, about digital literacy. And I'm going to read you some information from this exact piece, which I thought was cause for good discussion. Unfortunately, this podcast's a monologue, so I'm just going to give it to you that way. It talks about the new digital divide that is not between the children who have access to computers and devices that give them the internet and those who do not have access to those devices, but rather between the kids whose parents are saying, this is enough time on the device, and those parents who do not limit the access of their children, either because they don't know how or they're just not available to do that. New York Times reporter Matt Richtel investigated this new time-wasting gap, as he calls it, following a study by the Kaiser Family Foundation that shows that children of parents who do not have a college degree spend 11 and a half hours each day exposed to media from a variety of sources that include TV, computer, and other gadgets. Now, one thing you need to know about that statistic, 11 and a half hours per day, is that the Kaiser Family Foundation double-counted the minutes for multitasking, which is one reason that number is as large as it is. But even so, This is an increase of 4 hours and 40 minutes per day since 1999. And it's 90 minutes more daily than is spent by children from better educated, more affluent families. That gap has grown since 1999 from just 16 minutes. 16 to 90 minutes. Now, what this really means, and there's a lot of great statistical information if you want to go over, read this and the parent piece from New York Times reporter Matt Richtel over on nytimes.com. That's the New York Times website. But what it really boils down to, in my opinion, is this, is that you've got to be able to put boundaries on your kids' usage, whether you're allowing them to play with your smartphone or they have a device of their own, whether it's because they're on the computer, whatever the case might be, you need to be able to put limitations on those things that can be adhered to. And they need to be realistic ones, right? As they talked about in this exact piece, if the parent isn't available, is simply not there to be able to monitor this thing, then maybe it's that isn't a reasonable thing, or you've got to go about setting up a structure so that it is. For example, if there's a caretaker or is a caregiver, I'm never really sure. I think one is when you're alive and the other one's when you're dead. That they can respect the guidelines as you set forth for exposure to this type of media, as I said, through television, computer, or other devices that grant them internet access. You need to be able to draw those boundaries as you see fit for your family, whatever seems like an appropriate thing. Of course, that ultimately must be a decision that is made by you, the parent, as opposed to the rampant running children. They should not be able to make those decisions. Over at Babbel.com, there was a piece that came out just over a week or so ago, actually, as it relates to new information coming out about sleep training. And every time something like this comes out, it unleashes like a firestorm of comments and everything else from people that want to chime in. There was actually a very, very intelligent discussion going on in the wake of this over on Babbel.com, unlike the usual pissing matches and screaming. But this one, it was put together by a team of writers from over there about the conflicting points of view that are out there. There was a recent post over on Psychology Today entitled "The Dangers of Crying It Out" that was by a doctor whose name I'm not even going to venture to pronounce, that seemed to take a counterpoint to the book "Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child," which was published years ago by Dr. Mark Weissbluth. Now, Weissbluth puts out there the idea of allowing a child to cry themselves to sleep, no matter how long it takes, that they just cry it out. They cry themselves out into exhaustion. This technique is also sometimes called extinction, which sounds more dire than it is, I assure you. Babies are not going extinct. We produce them at an alarming rate. I don't know if you knew that. If you've walked through any shopping mall recently, you do. Now, obviously, you know, there are parents who wrestle with the fact that it can feel like a very guilty process to simply ignore the cries of your child so that they do exhaust themselves and inevitably go to sleep. And this goes back to the a couple basic concepts. One of them that Weissbluth puts out there is the idea that the baby learns to self-soothe, that they don't require some kind of external soothing to go to sleep, like you rocking or singing or, you know, like a toy or some other, you know, other device like that. To help them soothe themselves. They learn how to soothe themselves early on in life, and this allows them to go to sleep. And usually it takes a week or a couple weeks to find success with this program, but those can be very difficult for parents, especially new parents, you know, to just kind of barricade themselves in their room and hear the far-off screams and cries of their child as they exhaust themselves to sleep. Well, apparently, at least according to the unpronounceable doctor, who released the piece "The Dangers of Crying It Out" on Psychology Today, this doctor feels exactly the opposite from Weissbluth, takes the counterpoint to virtually every one of Weissbluth's theories. You know, these ideas that you know, it could be constructive for the child to learn these things early on. The other doctor puts forth the exact opposite thing, that it's actually to the detriment of the child, and really breaks down a lot of Weissbluth's stuff. And takes the exact point and backs it up with science of their own, saying that, no, you know, this is not a positive for the child whatsoever, that it's a negative. You know, the effect of stress, the impact that it has on the child's ability to be empathetic later in life, the fact that they grow up into adulthood with differing opinions on dependence or thoughts on independence. And there's a lot of great reading. If you want to go over and read this piece at Babbel.com, do so. But what I want you to take away from this is this idea. On a lot of these kinds of things, there are going to be conflicting yet equally compelling arguments on both sides of the coin, right? I don't know that one of these doctors is more qualified than the other. One's telling me that it's a good system. The other's telling me that it is not a good system. And who do I really believe? Ultimately, as a parent, you can only do the best that you can do. You, if you want to take the time to look at all of this, and it's compiled in a fairly easy to read method here, I think, over on Babbel.com, this piece. Take this information into account and make the best decision for yourself, right? None of us can pay to have a study conducted for the benefit of our family. And let's be honest, a lot of these studies have not been conducted on human babies because I don't know if you know this, a lot of scientists are reluctant to experiment on human babies. So you really just need to take the information at hand, ingest that, and from it draw the best conclusion that you can and make the most responsible decision that you can as a parent. And that's all that anyone could really ask of you, is to make the best decision in your opinion given the information that you have at hand. A wealth of information on this exact topic is over at Babbel.com. The article once again is called "Why I Feel Guilty for Sleep Training My Babies and Why I'd Probably Do It Again." That awaits you over there. There was a great piece, by the way, that was over on Jezebel.com, which is a very popular parenting blog, written by Mike Adamick, about parenting magazines that really seem to only be for moms. And I invite you to go check this out. I don't want to just paraphrase some of what he said here, because it really is a very well written and thought out and perhaps somewhat vulgar article that Mike wrote over there. But I really, really enjoyed just about the fact that there really don't seem to be parenting magazines out there that are aimed at dads. And this was really in response to a recent Wired magazine piece that featured parenting dad projects on their front cover. In fact, I'll talk a little bit about probably exactly this thing about geek dads in just a moment. But I thought it was very poignant and just kind of talks about the fact that some things, which could very simply be marketed as if they were for the entire family, seem very mom-specific. But I do want to talk a little bit about geek dad projects and some other great ideas for dads before I get to your little victories. I'm going to do all that for you and more in just a second. But first, do you have an expensive coffee habit like I do that requires constant refreshing of your pocket money? Maybe you have a comic book habit, or, oh, help you if you've got a gadget habit. You always need the next coolest gadget coming out. Well, whatever your habit might be, you need to go over and see our friends at Gazelle.com. That's Gazelle.com, because they will turn your used consumer electronic goods into cold hard cash for you. So you look about your house, right? You got some old iPhone 4, maybe an old MacBook Air you don't use anymore, the Samsung Galaxy S4G, or an iPad 2. You want to trade that in for your next upgrade or to support any habit you might happen to have? Well, go over to Gazelle.com right now and get a risk-free offer for your gadgets. And you want to do this today, because every extra day you hang on to these devices, they lose value. So get the maximum bang for your buck. Gazelle's going to give you a quote that stays valid for the next 30 days while you decide if you can live without your gadget, and then you're going to mail it off for free. That's right, Gazelle pays for the shipping for you, and you get paid fast. You're going to get a check in the mail, they'll put money in your PayPal, or you get 5% more when you choose an Amazon.com gift card. Gazelle would love to buy your used consumer electronics right now, so if you want fair prices, free shipping, and fast payment, please go visit our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com today. And make sure when you're checking out, you tell them you heard about them from us here at Grizzly Productions. All right, as promised, I've got some gadget ideas for Father's Day to tell you about. Now, this list was compiled by a good friend of mine who loves all the newest, latest, and greatest gadgets, and was hoping that I might talk about some of them on the podcast today in the hope that his wife, who's a listener, would hear the list. So without any further ado, let me tell you first and foremost about one of these items, which I happen to use myself. It's the Handy Holder Universal Tablet Holder. It's made right here in the USA. They were once a show sponsor of ours here on the Dob. I still use this thing even now. It's probably the most indispensable tablet accessory I have. It's also the only tablet accessory I have. It prevents you from ever dropping your Kindle or your iPad or any other tablet device that you have. And the simple dual lock technology just snaps the handle right into place. I put mine right on the back of my iPad. It's even stronger than before. They're always making this thing better, easier to use. It's so super convenient. And once you put it on your tablet device, I don't know why you'd ever take it off, because it's the most convenient thing in the universe. Go over and see HandeHolder.com for more information about all their tablet accessories. How about the Moto Active Golf Edition wristwatch? This thing's, if you are a golf enthusiast, you probably already know everything about this thing. It is mind-boggling the amount of information you can get from this wristwatch. You can get the distance to the pin on over 20,000 different golf courses. Yeah, you heard me right. 20,000 different golf courses. You can track your shot, your wrist. You can track every single aspect of your game using this wristwatch. You can locate hazards, information about every single course that you play. Comes with virtual caddy functionality, which keeps track of your score and your shots, all that jazz. They've even got online clubhouse to show you on a map every shot and where it landed. Do you want more information about this amazing wristwatch that sounds like it's a Dick Tracy accessory? Yes. Where are you going to get it? I'll tell you. Go to motoactive.com. That's motoactive.com. Motoactive.com for their golf edition wristwatch. How about a book for you to read? I'm going to tell you what to look for on Amazon.com. How about the Geek Dad's Guide? It's a great guide for weekend projects that you can do with your kids. It was written by a former contributor to Wired.com. It's going to give you an incredible array. But my favorite of these weekend projects that you're going to read about are how to build simple robots with your kids that can follow out very basic commands. And that's just scratching the surface. Go over to Amazon.com and search for The Geek Dad's Guide, and you'll probably find it right away. That's how I found it, anyway. If you're looking for a different kind of tablet accessory, not to take anything away from the handy holder, let's talk about the Logitech Solar iPad Folio. It's kind of a mouthful. This is so that you never have to use a battery again. This thing charges in any light. You can charge it under a lamp. You can charge it in low light. You can charge it out in the sun, whatever. This thing will last 3 months in complete darkness. You know, if you go into a cave or that part of the Arctic Circle where there's no sunlight for half the year. Whatever your case might be. It's great for vampires too, I guess. You want more information? Go over to Logitech.com. You'll find this in their tablet accessories section. Now here's one, just simple for any dad, but it's got an extra added bonus in that it's going to protect your iPhone as well. The Hex Wallet Case. You can find this over at shophex.com. This is one of many great products that they make over there. It's made out of genuine leather. It's great for your credit cards, your money, and everything else, but especially for your iPhone. Check that out. A simple, practical gift for any dad. That's over at shophex.com. That's all as one word. Now, if you know a Shutterbug that you could perhaps want to bestow a cool gift upon, AloClip is going to give the Shutterbug who uses their iPhone 3 all kinds of different lens choices. It's great for shooting wide-angle photos or videos of your family, and it's very, very easy to use. It snaps right over your iPhone camera lens. You can find out what these guys are up to over at, you guessed it, alloclip.com. That's alloclip.com, all is one word. Do you have some Father's Day gift ideas that maybe you want me to read because you know your wife listens to this program? Send them to our Facebook fan page, and I will read them here on Daddy on Board, unless they're lousy ones. Then I won't. Hey, I got to get out of here because I've got a full weekend ahead of me. I'm going to be over at the Wizard World Convention in Philadelphia. Drop by the Pennsylvania Convention Center and see me there. I'll be at the Chikara booth. When I'm not at that booth, guess what? I'm going to be on live iPay-per-view. Chikarosaurus Rex, How to Hatch a Dinosaur, streams out starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Saturday night. Catch me and the entire Chikara gang for a fun-filled, family-friendly evening of professional wrestling that will not insult your intelligence. You can order the live stream at gfl.tv or come see us live. It's an all-ages show. They'll have tickets available at the Trocadero Theater box office on Arch Street, just one block up from Wizard World. So before I go, I should read your little victories. And indeed I will. Kevin Adams, longtime and loyal Da Bobber, sent this in to us. My wife gave birth to our second son, Darren, yesterday, and she did it without an epidural. Way to go, Jen. Thanks for sending that in, Kevin. That's a big victory, really. That's a big victory. Rex Morris, possibly related to Cliff Manicotti, not to be sure, wrote this in, and this is a great one too. My 9-year-old visually impaired daughter just finished school with all A's and B's and perfect attendance for the year, and the iPad has been such a big help to her this year at school. Very proud of her, and indeed you should be, Rex. What a super awesome name you have, and a super awesome 9-year-old too, apparently. James Jones wrote to me. He wrote, one of my favorites. My boys and I were out and some other kid was acting up. One of my boys looked at the other and said, why does he have to be like that? And the other replied, yeah, geez. Thanks for sending that in, James. You look very much like an early 90s big boss man in your avatar picture there. Hope that reference isn't lost on you. Last but not least, Douglas White sent this one in to me. Invested in a boat. That's right, invested. I figure if my kids and their friends want to hang around, I know where they are and what they are doing. It also keeps them off the cell phones. Douglas, while I like this idea just fine and wish that I had a boat, I want you to know that your kids can use their cell phones on boats. They function even there. Sad but true. Well, that's going to do it for Daddy on Board 90. Thanks for joining me. You know, I'm on some other podcasts like the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. Usually comes out on Tuesdays, but not always. I'm also over on The Trending Show with Natalie Morris. That typically comes out on Sundays. You can pretty much count on that when she's not giving birth. If you don't like those, don't worry. I'll be back next week with more parenting stuff on a podcast I am likely to call Daddy on Board 91. Until then, adios, amigos.